right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Some of you aren't convinced because you're so sad that you're leaving today. Is it because you're so tired from being up late last night, you ice cream party people? I can hear you. All right. All the way up in my trailer. It's all right. It's fine. I was waiting to. Well, it's been a delight to be here with you this week. So good to get to know you, and I didn't necessarily get to have one-on-one conversations with every single one of you, but get to know at least some of you and many of your names, and I'm thankful for what God has done in your heart. I appreciate the testimony service last night and that opportunity to share what God has done in your life, and we'll be praying for you in the days ahead as you go from here. I know God has so much more He wants to do in your life. Let's go to Acts chapter 11 this morning. Just have a simple challenge that I hope will be a help to you as we walk forward from this place here. The Lord put just a simple phrase that we see here in this text on my heart for you all here this morning, and I hope it will be a help to us. In June of 2018, 12 boys and their coach from a soccer team entered a cave in northern Thailand after they had finished a practice. And while they were inside this cave exploring, heavy rains flooded the cave. And the entire system, just flooded. And they ended up getting trapped nearly 2.5 miles from the entrance of the cave. That's a long way underground. For days, no one knew where they were. The world watched as rescuers searched through the dark, flooded tunnels that were filled with strong currents, narrow passages, almost no visibility. And 9 days after they had disappeared, they were finally located by 2 British cave divers. Amazingly, they were all still alive. But finding where they were was just the beginning. Now the question was, now what do we do? Getting them out seemed just almost impossible. The boys couldn't swim. Many had never worn a diving mask. The route to safety required navigating through hours of flooded passageways, some of them so narrow that the divers literally had to take off their own oxygen tanks in order to be able to squeeze through. Rescue teams considered, well, should we just wait, to try to wait this thing out for the waters to recede? But they realized that would be months. The boys' food supplies were limited, trying to, continue to bring that in. And that's a long time. New storms could come up and flood the cave system even further. They said, we can't wait. We've got to do something now. And so experts from around the world literally gathered together to develop a rescue plan. What can we do? And finally, this was their daring plan. They said, each boy, we're going to fit them with a full face mask. They're going to be accompanied by a highly trained diver. To reduce panic that could come in the dark underway passages, they administered some sort of medication to help keep them calm in those passages. And one by one, rescuers guided each boy through this maze of flooded tunnels. The operation took several days and involved hundreds of people working together behind the scenes. Divers, doctors, engineers, military personnel, volunteers, just a whole group, each one fulfilling their role. And against all odds, every boy and the coach survived. They made it out alive. An unbelievable rescue. Now, there was one man who died in the process, a Thai Navy SEAL who died when trying to bring oxygen to them. When people hear that story and you think, man, whoa. And the question is, of course, how on earth did they pull that thing off? It just seems just so impossible. And the way they did it was by taking intentional steps to accomplish a single, clear objective that they had committed themselves fully to. Now, in our text, we see a statement along those lines that I want us to understand that I think will help us as we walk forward, help us with this simple truth. I want you to see that you must decide to abide with Jesus. All right, look here at Acts chapter number 11. Verse number 19, we'll start reading there just for sake of context, and we'll get down to the specific phrase I want you to see in verse 23. But begin reading in verse 19. It says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." Okay, so get the picture. There's people that were believers who had been in Jerusalem. Stephen is martyred in Acts chapter number 8. And so they all, and now persecution picks up big time. And I think about the guy Saul, who later became Paul, right? He's part of this operation to try to exterminate the followers of Jesus. And so all of these believers, they leave Jerusalem and they're scattered to all these other cities. And as they go find the Jews, right? The other Jewish people, because these are all Jewish believers, and they're going to these other cities that maybe are Gentile cities, but they're saying, we're going to find the Jewish people, and they preach Christ to them. Okay? They don't really go to the Gentiles. They're still thinking this is a Jewish thing. It's for our people. But then notice what it says in verse 20. It says, "Some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." Oh, so there was a few of them who came in Antioch, and they started to preach to some people that, ooh, Grecians. Okay. It says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." A whole bunch of people get saved. Whoa, that's exciting. There were some people, these people, they went out from Jerusalem, and yeah, though they were persecuted, they went out saying, we're going to be flute players. And they invited other people, and here in Antioch, there was a whole bunch of people who responded, who trusted Christ. They came to the Lord. And notice verse 22, "The tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem." And so the leadership there says, hey, we're going to send someone to go see what's going on here, see what God's doing, and to try to help encourage them. Okay, these were just ordinary believers. They weren't pastors that went out that were preaching in Antioch. I don't know. They weren't missionaries, specially trained. They were just ordinary believers who went out and preached. And so they said, we're going to go send them, just see if they need help, they need encouragement. They sent Barnabas, who was known as the son of consolation, the encourager, right? The one who's good at just encouraging people in the Lord. He was gifted that way. They sent him that he should go as far as Antioch. So Barnabas comes to Antioch, and look at verse 23. This is where we're going. "Who," speaking of Barnabas, "when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. I want us to think about this, that we need to decide to abide. Now look what it says here. It says, Barnabas, when he comes and he sees all these people that are saved and sees their heart for God, sees what God is doing, he says, whoa, God is on the move. He sees the grace of God. Grace is God stepping into our lives and doing what we could never do for ourselves. And then he sees the reality, well, God is moving here in Antioch. He's changing lives. This is amazing. And it says that he saw the grace of God and he was glad. He was excited. He was thrilled at what he saw. Boy, some of you have tasted God's goodness this weekend. You've seen, you've experienced the grace of God. God doing something in your life. God changing you, leading you to a step. And he's moved your life. You know what? That makes me glad today. I feel a little bit like Barnabas. Well, I'm just glad. I'm excited about what God's done in your life, about the steps that you're taking. I just can't help it when I see the clear evidence that God is doing something supernatural in people's lives. Boy, it encourages me, and I hope it encourages you. I hope you were encouraged last night as people shared testimony of what God was doing in their life, of the grace of God at work. That should encourage us. It's a blessing. But just because you've taken some important steps forward here at camp, because you've experienced the grace of God, the goodness of God, you've tasted and seen the Lord is good, doesn't mean that you'll keep moving forward after you leave this place. It's not an automatic thing. Just because you've experienced the grace of God once doesn't mean you're going to keep walking in that grace. And if you want to keep moving forward, you have to decide to abide with Jesus. Can I just, like Barnabas, a little bit this morning, exhort you, encourage you, challenge you with purpose of heart to cleave unto the Lord? So what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that you must make intentional decisions. You must make intentional decisions. He says here, with purpose of heart. Now that phrase literally means setting forth, planning beforehand, to decide before. That's literally what that phrase means. Think about that, that rescue operation, right? They're in the midst, they see the situation, they've evaluated, and what do? They made intentional plans. Right? They didn't just say, all right, we found them. Let's go get them out. We'll figure it out as we go. Never would have worked if they did that. No, what did they do? They actually said, no, we gotta sit down, we gotta strategize, we gotta make a plan here. Okay? We need this equipment, we need these people. We might face this obstacle. We got to be ready for that obstacle. We got to be ready for this difficulty. We've got to have an answer to this. What if one of them does this? We've got to know how we're going to handle these things. Everybody needs to know their role, exactly what they're supposed to do. They made an intentional plan. And listen, I'm becoming more and more convinced in my own life that the Christian life is all about intentional decisions instead of reactive decisions. The reason we so often fail is because we stumble through life reacting to whatever life is throwing at us instead of living each moment with purpose and intentionality. It's easy to just live reactive. You know what we do when we live reactive? We just do whatever response comes immediately to our mind, which is often the wrong response. It's not the Christ-like response, especially when we're just beginning this journey with Jesus. Our natural response is a human response, not a divine response. And so we've got to stop and say, I need to make an intentional decision. But what steps am I going to take? Too often we live like a ball in a pinball machine. You even know what a pinball machine is? Am I old when I say that?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. You know, that ball drops in and it hits this thing and boom, gets flown over here. It's that thing, boom, now it gets flown over there. It's this bumper, boom, over there. And there's somebody over here going, trying to keep it going, right? The ball is just tossed to and thrown around. It's just reacting to whatever it comes up against. Listen, that's not how God wants you to live the Christian life. That's often what we do. And then we sit back and wonder, why didn't I respond right to that thing? Why am I struggling? Why am I defeated? Because we're not living intentionally. We're living reactionary. He says, I want you to make some intentional decisions, some intentional choices. Okay? And then listen, life is filled with unexpected things. I get it. You can't anticipate everything that will come in your life. But not everything is unexpected. And there are things, you know, I'm probably going to face this. And maybe you need to stop, and maybe on your way home today, or when you get home, you need to actually stop and say, okay, when I face this situation, what's the response I need to have? What's the plan? I want to walk in the grace of God. Okay, well, what does that look like? When that time inevitably comes, when my little sibling destroys the thing I just, my new t-shirt I just got at camp and had everybody sign, and now they just put a hole in it. How am I going to respond to that? I mean, there's a whole lot of things more serious than that. But take them. What's your intentional plan? Make some on-purpose decisions. Hey, the book of Proverbs tells us, the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Looks ahead and say, hey, what steps do I need to take? Hey, some of you need to embrace what we saw there in the book of Romans, where he says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision. Okay, we need Jesus. Like we talked about, boy, he's got to do it all. But then he says, you also need to actually make some intentional choices to not make provision for your flesh. To not give in to your selfish desires, to fulfill those lusts. Listen, some of you are going to go home and normal life is going to hit you. Did you know life here at camp isn't normal? Some of you say, I'm so thankful that life isn't always like it is here. It's fun for 1 week. But if it happened like this for every week of my life, I'd get worn down. That's why you need to pray for your counselor this summer. Because they have a whole bunch more weeks left to go of the same schedule that you just walked through, okay? Yeah, so pray for them. Right? But some of you are going to go home to camp and you're going to hit, and like normal life is going to hit you. And if you don't make some intentional plans, you know what's going to happen? You're going to slip right back into the normal way of living, the normal habits that you have, because you're back at home and you just do what you do. And it's going to require intentional decisions, intentional choices, on purpose. I'm deciding, I'm purposing in my heart that I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this instead. I'm going to take this step that's different than what I did before. With purpose of heart, you need to make intentional decisions. It's a game changer. It really is in our Christian walk. When we stop just living reactionary and start intentionally deciding, this is what I'm going to do. So some of you need to every day get up in the morning and say, all right, I've got some intention. What are the intentional choices I need to make today? So realize you must make intentional decisions with purpose of heart. What does it say? Intentional decisions to do what? With purpose of heart, to cleave unto the Lord. So you have to make intentional decisions. But here we go. This is the real crux of it. You must prioritize your relationship. Prioritize your relationship with the Lord. With God. The word cleave here could be translated to abide with. Okay, now we see the word abide a lot of other places in Scripture, like John 15, where we're told to abide in the vine and those types of things. 1 John talks about abiding as well. This isn't actually the same word that's there, to abide in Christ. It's another word. It's that word abide plus the word with. Okay, I'm not trying to be technical here, okay? I'm just trying to help you see. So this isn't just the idea. The word abide means to stay somewhere, right? To dwell, to remain there. Well, this word isn't just staying in a place. It's emphasizing staying with someone, staying with a person. That's what you need to do. It's the idea of sticking close in a relationship. It's a picture of choosing to be with someone over other things. It's interesting. This word is only used a few times in the New Testament. And two of those times are in the accounts of the feeding of the 4,000. Where Jesus tells his disciples, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me. That's the word. They have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. And so Jesus goes on and does this amazing miracle to feed the 4,000. Or you know there's a difference. There's a feeding of the 5,000 and a feeding of the 4,000. Right? Well, this is the 4,000 one. Very similar in what happens, but not the same. An amazing miracle. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, these people have thought that being with me for the last 3 days was more important than eating. They decided that this was a priority, that being with me, in my presence, spending time with me, that was the most important. Said, listen, we want to stay with him, even if it means we have to skip 9 meals. Whoa. Does that seem like that was a high priority? Yeah, to say, because we want to stay with Jesus. How important is staying close to Jesus to you? That's the question. How important is staying close to Jesus to you? What is it that you say, well, I don't know if I'll take that step? Listen, maybe God's working your heart and there's a radical step that he's led you to take. Or that he's leading you to take. And then you're still wrestling a bit with it. And you're saying, I don't know if I want to take that step. That seems like a big one. I mean, that's going to be humbling to take that step. Well, let me ask you. Is being close to Jesus worth that to you? Is it worth making that a priority to stay close to him? What things in your life would keep you from staying close to Jesus? What would it take to stop you from pursuing Him? You need to make some intentional choices about those things. Listen, maybe they aren't things that are objectively wrong, right? Maybe they're not actually morally wrong, but are they going to hurt your walk with Jesus? Are they going to keep you from being with Him? Okay, listen, for those folks on that hillside when Jesus was there, for those 3 days, yeah, there's nothing wrong with eating a meal. We've had some good ones this week, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with eating a meal. It's a good thing. But you know what? They said, for me to walk away from Jesus to go get food, not worth it. And listen, there may be some things in your life that maybe they aren't even actually, they're not actually, we can say those are wrong things. They're sinful things. But you know what? For you to walk away from Jesus to focus on those things, it's not worth it. What's going to trip you up in your pursuit of God? You need to decide what is most important to you. Will you prioritize your relationship with God? I'm just trying to say this morning, young people, that you can be as close to God as you decide you want to be. It's not some nebulous thing out there like, well, it'd be nice if I could get close to God. No, you can be as close to God as you decide you want to be. I'm not making that up. God said it. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. It's a promise from the God who cannot lie. If you'll draw near to God, He says, I'll draw nigh to you. I'll draw near to you. If you'll get close to me, guess what? You'll find out I'm getting close to you. An amazing thing about that promise, to draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you, is that God is saying, every step you take towards me is doubly productive. That's a good investment. He's literally saying, listen, every time you take a step to draw near to God, you get 2 steps closer. Because when you draw near to God, God draws near to you. And now, it's not, as we talked about, it's not that God is far off and we have to somehow close the gap between us. No. He's seeking to draw you deeper into His heart. That's the closeness. He's seeking to say, I want you to know me in a fuller way, a closer, more intimate way, deeper drawn into His heart. Listen, you can be as close to God as you decide you want to be. The question is, are you going to make that a priority? Are you going to say, I'm going to make on-purpose decisions to walk with God? I'm going to make on-purpose decisions to stay close, to cleave to the Lord. Do we want that enough to prioritize it in our life? Say, this is more important to me than anything else. To stay close to Jesus. Listen, you made decisions this week. That's good. That's good. But don't forget, young person, Jesus is the ultimate goal you are pursuing. Not what Jesus can give you. Not what Jesus can do for you. He is the goal. Listen, the objective is not to feel better as you go through life because I'm not guilty anymore because I confess my sin. That's not the goal. The goal is not living free from sin or walking in purity, though, hey, that's a wonderful thing. If that's your goal, though, friend, you're going to miss it. I just want to not sin so badly because I don't want to feel guilty. I just want to make sure I'm living a pure life so I don't have the consequence. Listen, if that's what you're after, you're going to miss it. The objective is walking with Jesus, being with Him, pursuing Him, knowing Him, loving Him with all of your heart. He is the goal. And that's when you've got to make choices to say, I'm going to make it a priority to stay close in my relationship with Him. Listen, if you're prioritizing, say I want to walk with Jesus today. I want to stay close to Him more than anything else. Guess what? You're not going to do some of those sinful things that you did before. Because you're going to say today, that would keep me from being close. That would put that barrier between me and God. And I don't want that. And so I'm going to make an on-purpose decision saying, I'm not going that way today. I'm going for Jesus. I'm staying with him today. When you're confronted with that temptation and your flesh says, hey, yeah, that'd be really nice. And it's, no, I'm deciding right now. I want Jesus, not that stuff. No way. I'm staying with him. Because I want him more than anything else. Listen, make Jesus your priority. Set your compass to that goal. He's the one that you're seeking. He's the one that you need. I'm just saying, you're not going to walk with Jesus by accident. You've made some decisions. You've taken some steps. Good. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to keep moving forward, you have to decide on purpose to abide with Jesus. Stay close. And my prayer is that you'll make those decisions, those intentional choices. Listen, it's not a bad habit to get up in the morning and say, all right, Lord, what are the on-purpose decisions I need to make today? All right, I'm going to be in this situation. What do I need? What decisions do I need to make so I can walk with you in that scenario? As I'm working at that job, or as I'm interacting with these people I know I'm going to see today, or as I'm facing this challenge today. Listen, there's going to be unexpected things that come, and God will give you grace for those things to stay close and walk with him in the unexpected. But that grace often comes as we've made the intentional decision. So we're not having to react to the expected. We can react by the grace of God to the unexpected, yes, because we're intentionally walking with Jesus, and you find he is all we need in those moments. So listen, you got to decide to abide with Jesus. Will you do that? Make intentional choices and make your relationship with him a priority, your pursuit of him. Number one, not a priority of your life, make it the priority of your life, to walk with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these young people. Lord, I ask you to help them. Give them clarity on the intentional choices they need to make, how to enter in that life, and not just reacting, but of sitting down and evaluating and making the decisions that they need to make to say, I'm going to make the intentional choices to stay close to Jesus. But Lord, help them to keep their focus on you, to grow in their love for you, so they can truly say, as you want us to be able to say, that they love you with all of their hearts. Help us in this. Thank you for them. Give them grace in the days ahead, I pray in Jesus' name.